Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. We'll actually have baseball at Wrigley Field. It'll just be a little bit cold after another postponement. Cubs and Cardinals will finally renew their rivalry to start 2018. Baseball night in Chicago kicks off our coverage bottom of the hour. Len and JD have the call at 7. Meanwhile, Anthony Rizzo will be back in the lineup after his back injury is healed. Today he said baseball should shorten the season to avoid bad weather, and he'd even be willing to take a pay cut to do it. Would that ever happen? Matt Nagy is officially in charge at his first voluntary minicamp, and Jordan Howard is still there to practice. Howard says the Bears won't trade him. But how much of a role will a running back who doesn't catch the ball well have in the new offense? And welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Hope you had a really good day. Good start to your week. I'm David Kaplan. Panel for today's show from the Associated Press. And you can hear him on the AP Sports Weekly, the AP Sports Special Events podcast. He's our guy, Jim Litke. He's also back from the Masters, from the Tribune and the Bear Download podcast. He's the great Rich Campbell. And from Bleacher Report, and he has a podcast, Big Ten Unfiltered. He is Seth Gruen. All right. Baseball tonight from Wrigley. We start our podcast with the Cubs. The boys of summer will be playing in the winter tonight. Cubs and Cardinals will finally open their series at Wrigley with game time temps expected to be 37 degrees. The wind chill right around freezing. Anthony Rizzo will be wearing his long underwear tonight. He returns from the DL with a back injury. This morning he joined me on ESPN 1000, and he was asked if he'd be in favor of shortening the season to avoid chilly April nights.
Me, personally, I would love it. I think we play a lot of – I think it's too much baseball, personally. Yes, guys are going to take pay cuts, but, I mean, are we playing this game for the money or we love the game? I know there's both, but I think in the long run, it'll make everything better. Major League Baseball is doing it how they want to engage fans more and all this stuff. As a fan, you're going to a baseball game in April and it's raining and snowing and freezing rain. Is it really that much fun?
No.
That's my question.
All right, here's our Enkin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Does MLB need to shorten the season? Yes, because of cold weather. Yes, because there's too many games. Or no, this April is an anomaly. I will ask you that question. Rich.
Talking about this now is like going to the grocery store when you haven't eaten in 2 days, right? I mean, the weather is just so bad. And Rizzo talks about when the fans are going to the games in April, they aren't going, right? We've seen the empty stadiums throughout the league at this point. I agree with him that the season should be shorter. It would be, you wouldn't lose anything by taking away games. But I'm of the belief that you shorten the season so you can get a full 7-game series for the wild card round. At the end of this, not to avoid these cold weather games now.
I think you got to get rid of the cold weather games, and you got to get rid of them on the other end too, by the way. I mean, we're now bleeding into November. I mean, we've seen what happens when you get guys playing in 35 degree weather. It's a product that's impossible to sell. And if baseball's losing interest, why would you put a subpar product out there?
Look, I agree with Anthony Rizzo. I think the season should be shortened. I do not think it should be because of weather. I would not like to see the season then condensed into fewer months, right? I think it should be to give these players more of a break, to give them more days off over the course of the season. I wouldn't do it to shrink the season down. I would do it to stretch it out because this travel schedule is heinous for some of these teams, in particular the Cubs. Joe Maddon's talked about all these day games. I mean, to play a Sunday night game and then have to travel to, I think it was Pittsburgh, and play a day game, to me is ridiculous. That's not good baseball. Okay, the weather's going to get better. This is an aberration. But for guys to play on 2 hours sleep, you see the quality of the game, it goes down. It's just like Thursday night football. Same thing. Guys aren't recovered, quality of the game goes down.
Well, now you're getting doubleheaders too. I mean, the schedule that has more off days this season
Rizzo
built in.
Rizzo said he likes doubleheaders.
Yeah? Based on just the fact that you can get it all done in one day, you're loose.
If it's warm weather.
Yeah, you're warm.
He said, you tell me I'm showing up at Wrigley and the flags are blowing straight out and I got two games? Game on.
All right, fair enough. But we all know how it stresses pitching staffs, and you have questions about adding the pitcher to, make that game up whenever it needs to be made up. I think there's a good argument for it. It's not, though, about whether the players are willing to take pay cuts as much as it is these owners. You're going to give up the gate on all these games?
And TV revenue.
Sure.
That's the big thing. It's not about the gate.
Sure,
I mean,
what are you talking about?
TV revenue. Let's say they go down to 154, eight games. What are you talking about? Gate revenue. No,
right.
It's all about the TV. I think what will sooner happen is expansion of the rosters, which I think should happen. I could see them going to 27, 28 and saying, hey, this will give guys a break. But I think it's an uphill battle to shorten the season with these owners.
You know, I don't see why. Why not just charge whatever revenue you lose, you can probably make up by jacking the ticket prices up a little bit, because the games will be worth more. You'll get good weather. You'll get more people in attendance. You'll get better baseball product. You know, the lost revenue, I think what Anthony said is shared by a lot of guys. I'll bet you on any given day, there's three guys on the roster would buy their way out of a game. If the manager said, hey, I can sit you tonight, you give me back $1,000, bang. I mean, you know, you got a knee injury, you got whatever, and you're not, why stress these guys out?
Jose Quintana wanted to go out and pitch, where he said, I was told by someone in there, he told us he could not feel his fingers in the second inning.
Did you watch the Oakland Sox game last night? Was there anybody not wearing like a full face mask with the cap pulled down low? Guys have got five gloves on. I mean, somebody put on a sliding glove yesterday. It looked like an oven mitt. I think it was.
We'll get to White Sox a little later, because they're giving away all the seats tonight, and it will be 70,000 people there. It should be really cool. We'll switch to football. Voluntary veteran minicamp is underway at Halas Hall, meaning it's the first practices for the Bears under Matt Nagy and the first he's ever run as a head coach. There's already a different vibe in Lake Forest. Take a listen to Nagy's press conference today when he was asked about the offense learning the playbook. And tell me if you can spot a difference.
I just got done talking to Mitch just a little bit ago, pulled him to the side and just told him really how amazed I was at how he got through this first day. He was impressive, and I don't want to put too much on him, but at the same time, he needs to understand that that was pretty good what just happened. Not just Mitch, but the rest of the offense, and I'm talking about the offense because we've never been together. So we weren't sure how it was going to be just getting in the huddle, walking up to the line of scrimmage and saying, ready, set, go. And the guys all around, the centers, the linemen, the running backs, lining up, very few mistakes. And so that goes back to them in the meetings of understanding the details. When I'm up here and I'm installing the plays to these guys, their eyes and not even necessarily all the notes they take, but just I can see I'm connecting with them and they're connecting with me. And as long as you have that, now they need to be able to talk to me and tell me where they're learning. And so Mitch and the rest of the guys and these coaches teaching them have done really well.
We just heard more in 50 seconds of a soundbite than 3 years of John Fox.
There's a few independent thoughts in there, right? One thought to the next thought to the next. Hopefully he stays like that. And we're in this process right now, this period where you're still getting to know who Matt Nagy is. And today, other than it was a football practice 5 months before any real football is being played, you're starting to get to understand him, just who he is as a coach, what his presence is like on the field, what are his processes like. And it's just starting to peel back the onion. And, you know, as a media, you know, as a reporter who's out there every day, yeah, that's encouraging after what
Please
we sat through the last
change,
3 years.
Yeah, look, I agree. We've seen coaches do a 180 on this before. Bill Belichick.
He hasn't lost the game.
Actually, did a 180. He was pretty transparent when he was with the Browns and felt like he kind of got screwed over by the media and has gone mum since in New England. But look, the reality of this is it's great that he's connecting with the fans. It's great for people covering the team. But this means nothing when that team goes between the lines. This means nothing about his ability as a head coach. So I don't really take anything from it.
Well, you have to like what appears to be a new offensive playbook, just for starters, because I don't even know that Fox had one. I think Fox's idea was, you know, run the ball and play defense and don't talk about anything. So that by itself is hopeful. You know, the question is still the same, though, that it was a year ago. Can Trubisky basically, you know, is he ready to play NFL football? Last year, you could argue, didn't have enough around him to know. I don't know that we'll have that much of a different difference this time around, but it still comes down to him.
We had both Lewis Riddick and Mel Kiper on, and they said if Trubisky, with what you know today, if he was in the draft this year, they said he goes one, no lower than two.
Did they give you who they would consider over him?
The only one that they said could rival him would be Sam Darnold. They said of the quarterbacks, and they said a quarterback would go high, but Kiper would take him one.
You know, but people are saying Josh Rosen has all the physical tools. They just don't like the off-the-field stuff and what he comments on politically. So I don't necessarily know that I agree with or buy that based on what I've read and heard. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about. Sure.
I think he had a promising rookie season. I mean, that's the right word, right? He didn't prove anything necessarily or he didn't.
But he certainly looked like he could be the part.
I agree with you. And the most important part of that was he can play from the pocket. He can make his drops, and he can read the field and make throws. He needs players around him. He needs to be more comfortable doing all of that. He'll, you know, you would think, with experience, cut down on the turnovers, you know, seven interceptions and some of the sack fumbles he took. But that's where Nagy comes in. Together, I think he's just going to position him for success so much more than Fox or Dow Loggins ever could.
Yeah.
And it starts with this relatability, I think. They'll have a good relationship. He played the position. And from there, good things will happen if they stay healthy and add players around him.
All right. Nagy said today, Jordan Howard will be his feature back and have a role in the offense. This despite a viral controversy on Instagram, which Howard reportedly took down all photos of himself in a Bears jersey. Damn millennials. Here's Howard when asked about all of that today.
Well, nothing to it. Just a story people made up.
Did you remove some pictures?
I don't know, did I? I don't know.
I need to start following you, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Are you surprised that you got such reaction from something on Instagram?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I really wasn't expecting a reaction or anything.
So you don't know if the pictures are
I don't know. You can go in there now and see if they're on there. I don't know.
They are.
Well, they are on there
I guess
now.
They always been up there.
Look. He did remove some pictures, but
yes,
people jumped to conclusions. And the Bears officials I spoke to said, are you kidding me? This is not a story. He's not going anywhere. They've got to get a back that I think in this draft that can catch the football. That's just not his forte, no pun intended. But he is a really good running back.
So you look at Kansas City's offense from a year ago to try to understand what Matt Nagy is going to bring to the Bears. And Kareem Hunt, as a mid-round rookie, had over 50 catches. He wasn't a particularly highly touted receiver, but he was functional for them, and they put him in good matchup situations, and they got the most out of him. Jordan Howard has trouble just catching the ball. He puts the ball on the ground too much. He just can't catch. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure this out. And what Nagy said when pressed on it today was that, look, we do a good job of figuring out what our players do well and sticking to that, okay? So the answer is we're not going to throw Jordan the ball. And to your point, Cap, yeah, they need a back they can throw to. Tariq
right.
Cohen can be that guy, but is he, you know, is he predictable when he's on the field? Are you going to give him the ball in between the tackles as much as you would do Jordan Howard? Of course not. He's not the same type of runner. They're going to have to figure it out.
But if there's one position you can find quality late in the draft or even signing rookie free agents, it's at the running back position. We saw what Corey Clement did this year in Philadelphia. So I don't know that it becomes a major concern for the Bears heading into the draft. Like, oh, my God, are we going to get a guy? They're going to find someone they like.
Plus, it depends how much emphasis he's going to put on that in his offense. Whatever scheme he decides to be playing, you know, they may be throwing a lot shorter to the receivers instead of depending on the back. He may just be a pressure valve. It'll depend on, you know, it'll depend on what he sees from Trubisky. And then it'll depend on, you know, whether they want a longer passing game or they're going to throw everything short.
He said today, unequivocally, it's not fair to say Jordan Howard doesn't fit in his offense. Okay, we can hold him to that, right? We'll see how he uses it.
See how it works out.
Right.
All right, the White Sox played a game for the first time since last Thursday. They still haven't won since last Wednesday. Bright spot, another solid outing by youngster Reynaldo Lopez. Where will he slot into the White Sox rotation of the future? Plus, the A's are giving out free tickets tonight to celebrate their 50th anniversary game, and the place will be packed. Is this something the White Sox should do in the future?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Reynaldo Lopez pitched very well last night, 10 strikeouts, but he got no help from his team, and the A's drilled the Sox last night. 8-1 was the final. But Where does Reynaldo Lopez fit in the Sox future? He looks like, Jimmy, that he could be a piece of this rotation going forward.
With a little run support, he probably would be already. I mean, he's had probably three starts. Two of them, he easily could have won. I mean, again, another thing where you don't know, based on what's around a guy, how much you're going to get out of him.
He was sitting comfortably at 96.
Yeah, at 97 on like his 105th pitch of the night last night.
He's a beast.
Yeah, if you're staying up with that velocity that late in the game and you can locate it, they'll find a spot for you.
No question.
I said it when this rebuild started to take shape. They're trying to be the 2015 Mets, and you know, he looks every bit the part of that kind of rotation. You know, where he slots, I don't know that it matters if all these guys reach their potential. That's going to be a dominant step.
All right, let's talk about free tickets, because the A's, to commemorate their 50th anniversary, are giving away all the tickets for tonight's game, as well as free parking. They're expecting a packed house in Oakland. Is this something the White Sox should do?
I always think these are fun conversations because, you know, as a business person, you have to ask yourself, do you want to devalue your product, right?
But
to say that you can, that's what I mean. Or is this a long play, which I think we all agree it is, right? You get people in the ballpark, they have a good time, they see something exciting, and they want to go back. Or their kids say, hey, Dad, take me back to
or
the game.
They start watching the games and they patronize their sponsors, and the sponsor goes,
I'm
going to keep advertising. Yeah. We had a good return on our investment.
I like it.
The White Sox have some pretty nice ticket packages as it is. I mean, I'm pretty sure you can still get a $5 upper deck ticket.
But this is a
post
bold
up in the bullpen
move.
Bar.
Yeah, but this is an experience. This is what you're selling. You're not just selling the ball game at this point. You're literally selling a packed house that's going to be a big part of it. The vibe is so much better. You know, there'll be tons of kids around. I mean, I went back and looked at a story. Somebody did this, I think, in the 60s, and the general manager just kept going. He was like marveling at how many kids actually showed up. He goes, we only, you know, we probably had 30,000 there, but he goes, 25,000 of them must have been kids.
They're expecting 70,000, and you know how they have the tarps in the upper deck?
Yeah.
They removed them
they
all.
They took the tarps off.
They're expecting that entire place to be packed. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's cool for those fans. I mean, you know.
I think it'll be good TV.
Yeah, that's all true. That said, you know, it is a product. It's like Rich said, giving it away for free, I don't know that that's the best business decision. I don't know that there's value added.
Yeah, but everybody uses Lost Leaders. You know, they 7-Eleven sells
gum for 30. Yeah, but it's not Costco. I mean.
Right, well, but that's, you know, we'll that's the funny thing.
Leave the tarps on and have 8,000 there? What's the difference? The seats
I'm
are
not saying
empty.
You can the state offer ticket packages. You don't need to go completely the other way and offer it for free.
I disagree.
I'm not saying this isn't going to be great for the fans.
I
think it's cool. I think it's great publicity. But it's not a solvent business model.
I wonder what they'll make up in concessions just having, you know, that many people
great
in the ballpark.
All right, Mother Nature isn't just wreaking havoc on the baseball schedule. It's messing with the NASCAR schedule as well. Bristol started Sunday, ended Monday. Kyle Busch in victory lane. Scott Paddock here with your weekly update next.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, join us next Thursday night at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Bridgeport for our authentic fan draft night. Starts with a beer money taping at 5:30, followed by Sports Talk Live on location at 6. And then it's live NFL draft reaction with Lawrence Holmes, Alex Brown, and more. And the weather messed with baseball over the weekend and also messed with NASCAR as well. The Cup Series race at Bristol started Sunday. Red flag due to weather after 200. Monday delayed again, this time because of sleet. When they finally raced, Kyle Busch in a familiar spot on top. He won a second straight race, executing a perfect bump and run on Kyle Larson with 5 to go, took the checkered flag. Our guy Scott Paddock here on Sports Talk Live. That can't be easy running a race that goes over 2 days.
No, not at all. And it disrupts kind of their routines because following a race, these haulers get right back to the shops in North Carolina. They've got to retool the cars, get them off, get the new cars on, and head back. So it disrupts the whole rhythm of the week. But and even the drivers getting out of their comfort zone a little bit. And those are tough conditions to race within. I mean, even on Monday with the reschedule, there was a mist, there was some sleet, not easy race conditions to go on. But Kyle Busch is making a statement here. He's a man to be reckoned with this year.
He absolutely is.
Just can't believe these guys will even, you know, mess around these conditions at all.
Yeah.
It's just,
I think it'd be cool to see him racing the sleet.
Yeah. How about some heaters in the cars?
Yeah. Well, on a road course, they'll put rain-specific tires, and they will run in the rain on the road course, but typically on an oval course like this, not at those speeds. But you know, kudos to Kyle Busch. And, you know, it was Kyle Larson's race to win, but luck comes into play a lot of times in these races. Brad Keselowski wrecks with 30 laps to go. Kyle Busch comes in, gets fresh tires, and he ends up beating out Kyle Larson for the win.
Also, Ford made a big announcement today because they've been running Ford Fusions.
They have.
And now they're going to the Mustang.
The Mustangs, yep. So Chevy came out with the Camaro. Ford's coming out with the Mustang.
And we're going old school.
We're going old school now. And so that's going to be a slick look on those on the track next year.
Does a car dealer see a bump in sales of the street version because they're running it there?
No doubt. I mean, there's a long time saying in our sport cap, win on Sunday, sell on Monday. Ah. And these OEMs, these auto manufacturers, literally invest hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in this sport because it's their incubation center, their R&D laboratory. And what they learn on the racetrack has a lot of application on what goes into the showroom to the car that you buy. And that vet that you have, do you still have that vet?
No, gone. I got rid of it. Okay.
So anybody who's been behind the wheel of a Camaro knows that, you know, it could be a little difficult to handle. How do they set up the cars for this kind of weather?
Well, every
snow tires, kid.
Well, no, you know, you've seen days of thunder. You turn it here, loose as fast, yeah, and on the edge out of control.
Well,
right?
You're right, Seth. I mean, these car chiefs and crew chiefs and engineers set up the car differently for every kind of track. This was a short track last weekend at Bristol, a half mile, much different setup than an intermediate track like Chicagoland Speedway, a mile and a half, or even a super speedway. And when you've got conditions like this in the rain, when the track surface doesn't have that grip because it's washed all the rubber away, that's a completely different setup, and you have to make adjustments as the race goes on.
We're just about out of time. Two quick things. We got to make our picks, and you have Stars and Stripes coming to your place.
Yep. July 1st, the big NASCAR Monster Energy Overton's 400. We're going to play up patriotism and pageantry in a big, big way, honoring our servicemen and women, both active and retired, and really bring that Stars and Stripes life to home. You're going to be proud to be an American on July 1st.
We're at Richmond.
Going with Kyle Busch. Got to do it. Nobody's hotter right now. I know I'm not going out on a limb, but Kyle's going to go three in a row this weekend.
All right. And you had him last week.
I did.
I'm going to take Harvick.
Okay. Good luck to you.
We'll see how that works out for you, kid. All right. You guys all have a wonderful night. Don't forget, we've got Cubs postgame tonight. We've got baseball night in Chicago coming up next. That'll wrap up Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. We will see you right back here tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.